जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवार धारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवार धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरा बनचारी। यमुना तीरा बनचारी। जय राधा माधव बनचारी। यमुना तीरा बनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोड़ा प्रेमानंदी प्रभुपाद की जय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 1st द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट 44। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तस्मन्न कस्यचिद्रोहम् आचरेत् सतताविधा आत्मना क्षेमम् अन्विच्छन् द्रोग्दुर्वाय परतो भयम्। तस्मन्न कस्यचिद्रोहम् आचरेत् सतताविधा आत्मना क्षेमम् अन्विच्छन् द्रोग्धुर्वै परतो भयम्। तस्मन्न कस्यचिद्रोहम् आचरेत् सतताविधा आत्मना क्षेमम् अन्विच्छन् द्रोग्धुर्वै परतो भयम्। Ladies. Tasmat, therefore, na, not, kasyachit, of anyone, droham, envy, acharit, one should act, sa, a person, kamsa, tatavidha, who has been advised in such a way, by Vasudev, Atmana, his own, Kshemam, welfare, and Vichan, if he desires, Drogdu, of one who's envious of others, by indeed, Parata, from others, Bhayam, there is a cause of fear. Translation. Therefore, since envious and pious activities causes a body in which one suffers in the next life, why should one act impiously? Considering one's welfare, one should not envy anyone, for an envious person must always fear harm from his enemies, either in this life or in the next. Purport. Instead of being inimical toward other living entities, one should act piously by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord, thus avoiding a fearful situation both in this life and in the next. In this regard, the following moral instruction by the great politician Chanakya Pandit is very meaningful. Tyaja durjana samsargam bhaja sadhu samagamam kuru punyam ahoratram smara nityam anityatam. One should give up the company of devils, demons and non-devotees, and should always associate with devotees and saintly persons. One should always act piously, thinking that this life is temporary, and not be attached to temporary happiness and distress. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching all of human society this principle of becoming Krishna conscious and thus solving the problems of life forever. Taktva deham punarjammana iti mameti sarjuna. Amma jnana timirandasya Jananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati swapadantikam Bandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha Shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunatam vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishavanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarovyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So, Vasudev is trying to advise Kamsa not to act sinfully by killing his sister. So, he's using very logical argument, philosophical argument, to dissuade him from doing such a sinful act. First of all, he was afraid to die. The prophecy said the eighth child of his sister will kill him. But what is pregnancy? What is the child? at the present moment was no danger at all. So why he wants to kill his own sister in the day of her marriage? So he's instructing him, don't be envious of your sister. Don't try to harm her on her wedding day. Think a little bit. What are you doing? Because impious activity, sinful activity, will cause you to have a body in the next life, and you have to suffer for all your sinful activities. So think of, if you are thinking of the future, that in the future this child is going to kill you, think about the next future, your next life, what's going to be. Full of suffering because of sinful activities. Don't think just this life. This is not the only life. Not the first, not the last. So why act impiously, knowing the truth? If you really care for your own welfare, then you should not envy anyone. Because an envious person is always fearful of his enemies, either in this life or the next. So the law of karma is so strict that enemies can be from this life and there can also be enemies the next life. The same people, the same living entities, life after life. Remember the story of Chitraketu? He lost a son. Co-wives poisoned the child. And he was suffering so much. Narad Muni was trying to instruct him and to no avail. Then Narad Muni brought the soul back to speak, to enlighten Chitraketu. And the soul said, "You're lamenting for my death, but you don't know that in my previous life I was your enemy. And I was born as your son and died untimely just to cause you suffering." So this is reality, you know. Things don't happen accidentally. And why Kamsa was such a big demon, being the son of Krishna's grandfather, Ugrasen? Why? Because actually he wasn't the son of Ugrasen. According to Padma Puran, his mother, Padmavati, after getting married, she stayed a short time at her father's palace, Satyaketu, her father's name, Satyaketu. And one messenger of Kuvera became attracted to her. She was in the forest around the palace wandering, and the demon took a shape of Ugrasen. He had mystic power, shape-shifting. And she thought that was her husband. So they came together and they have Kamsa as a son. So that's why Kamsa is such an evil, because his father was a demon, actually. But nobody knew of this, so common knowledge was that he was the son of Ugrasen. Anyway, so we have to act piously and avoid impious activities. And there are three kinds of pious activities. Not all pious activities are on the same level. There is bhogommukhi sukriti, mokshammukhi sukriti, and bhaktimmukhi sukriti. Bhogommukhi sukriti means pious activities that can bring us material enjoyment either in this life or the next. You know, like helping the poor with food and medicine and cloth and opening roads, digging a well, all the kind of pious activity that for sure bring material welfare, benefits. And mokshamukhi sukriti means pious activity that bring impersonal liberation, like, for example, meditating on the impersonal Brahman and doing austerities for that purpose. And bhaktimukhi sukriti means pious activities that bring out bhakti, devotional service. What kind of activities are those? For example, somebody may come to the temple and pays obeisance to the Lord, or water a tulsi plant, or get a book about Krishna from somebody. Or somebody goes to his home and ask for some flowers. He doesn't know what the person is going to use them for. And he gives. And the person comes to the temple and offers them to the Lord. He gets the result, the bhakti results. So when there is enough credit in our bhakti account, the person in some future life, he gets attracted to become a devotee of the Lord and perform devotional service. So the Lord is more eager than ourselves that we come to Him with a loving attitude. We know that Kamsa was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, but still he was not considered a devotee because he was thinking of Krishna unfavorably as his enemy. Anukulyena Krishna uno should be favorable to Krishna. Devotional service should be to please Krishna, not to envy him or harm him, like Kamsa wanted to. So anyway, one should try to understand that human life is a great opportunity to get rid of all sinful reactions by engaging in loving service to the Lord and avoiding any sinful activities. That's Prabhupada said, that's the most important qualification of a devotee, is very careful to avoid any sinful activities and just do pious activities by engaging in loving service to the Lord. And that's a fact. Recently I was in Texas and I read in the newspaper that one Christian minister said that unless we accept reincarnation and karma, there is no way to explain the problems of the world. I was surprised that the Christian minister was saying something like that. And that's a fact. Without accepting this basic philosophical understanding, there is no way to explain the problems and the suffering of people. People sometimes blaming God for their problems, and sometimes even devotees we hear speak like that, or blaming others even. Once a devotee approached Prabhupada to complain about another devotee. Prabhupada, this devotee did that to me and that, he said this, he did that. And Prabhupada said, don't be angry at the instrument of your karma. So somebody may be used as instrument for your karma. Don't be angry at the instrument. Be angry at your karma, because you did your own karma. We are creating our own happiness, suffering by our own deeds. There is a true story about how karma works in the same life. That happened at the beginning of the 20th century. One Spanish man from Canary Island, he immigrated to South America, Venezuela, to make money, to become rich. So he started his business of selling milk. That's what he knew to do in his country anyway. And he had some saving, bought some cows, and he was milking, selling the milk. But in order to make money faster, he started to add water to the milk. First 10%, then 15, then 20. At that time, the government in Venezuela was a dictatorship. General Gomez, if he caught the guy, he would be in jail and pay a big fine, you know, was very strict. But this man took risk just to make money faster. And in a few years, he became very rich, very, very rich. After 10, 15 years, he decided to go back to his country and enjoy his new riches. So he went by passenger's boat, and he had a big chest full of gold coins. You know? At that time, that was the currency, gold coins. They call it morocota. It's a huge gold coin. I've seen in the museum, South America. In my childhood there, we used silver coins. Everybody using silver coins. But then the silver became more expensive than the currency itself. So people were melting the currency and selling the silver. So the government has to withdraw all the silver coins from the market. Anyway, so this man went on a trip by boat. And in the middle of the trip, there was a huge, big storm. So huge that it seems that the boat was going to sink in the ocean. So the captain asked all the crew to go in every cabin and find very heavy things and throw out in the ocean. So they came to this man's cabin. His name was Pedro. Oh, this is very heavy. No, 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 I give you money. Don't throw it away. Ah, you fool, you want to die. They throw it in the ocean. This man almost jumped, you know, after his gold, you know. And he was crying and lamenting for so long, you know, my riches, my money, my gold. And after crying for some time, he calmed down and he spoke to his gold. He said, "With water I made you, in water you left me." He understood the law of karma, you know. Never read Bhagavad Gita, but practical experience, life experience. A true story. Actually, my grandmother told me that story. Anyway, we can see, you know, what goes around comes around. That's a fact. Nobody, you know, but this story proves, you know, practically it is a fact, you know. So, comes as fear, being killed, was due to his bodily identification. Nothing else, because every living entity who is born in this world has to die sooner or later, isn't it? So, I remember one last time, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Vrindavan, and one lady disciple came with her daughter, both crying, lamenting, because the daughter had terminal cancer. And the doctor diagnosed that she will die in 3 months. And she was a young girl, I mean. And both mother and daughter were crying and telling Prabhupada about it. And Prabhupada was very sober, very sober. He said, "Look, we all have to die, sooner or later, either tomorrow or in 10 years or in 3 months. Everybody has to die, so what is the reason to lament about?" I mean, only due to, of course, one may say this is a little insensitive to say, but it's a fact, it's a true, I mean. With compassion, Prabhupada was telling them that, of course, that, you know, please don't lament, you know, we all have to die one day. So, we have to take shelter in the holy name of Krishna. And we don't know when death may come, so better be prepared, be ready, you know. Not in a fearful mind, but with an attitude that whatever it comes has to come, you know. Who can avoid this? Nobody. There's a story in the Puranas about a yajna that was performed in the heavenly planets. And all the demigods came to attend, including Yamaraj, and Brahma and Shiva and all others. And the yajna was so perfectly done by the Brahmins that Lord Vishnu emerged from the fire mounting on Garuda, you know, offering his blessings, darshan, to all the demigods. And they were in ecstasy, you know, praying to the Lord for his mercy. And there was a small bird around on the grass, you know, eating on the grass. And Yamaraj turned his face and stared at the bird. The bird became frightened, you know. He went to Garuda, my dear big brother. Yamaraj just stared at me with sharp eyes. I'm very afraid, I don't want to die. Garuda said, what can I do for you? Oh, please take me to the top of the Sumeru mountain. There I will be saved. Garuda said, yes, why not? Please climb on my shoulder, on my back. And the small bird climbed on, and Garuda took him to the top of Sumeru mountain. Huh? Okay, there you say. Okay, you're happy? Yes, thank you, my dear brother. So Garuda came down, and he went to ask Yamaraj, why did you frighten my little brother? You know, he said that you stared at him very sharply. Why you did that? Yamaraj smiled. No, I wasn't. I didn't mean to frighten him. I was just surprised to see him here because in a couple hours I have a meeting with him at the top of Sumeru Mountain. And I was thinking, how this little bird is going to reach there? That was, I was stared at him. I was surprised. What this guy doing down here? And Garuda smiled and said, well, destiny is very strong. But then Yamaraj told him that, please don't worry. Because of his association with you, his destiny changed. Now he's not going to die. In his next life, he's going to be a devotee and get the chance to be liberated. Just by your association, he got that opportunity. So karma can be changed for worse or for good. That's our free will, isn't it? So anyway, finally, Vasudev convinced Kamsa, you know, not to kill his sister, but he had to promise him that every time the child is born, I will bring it to you and you do whatever you want. That's the only way that made him stop to kill his own sister. You know, makes sense, okay. Danger is not from my sister, but from her early child. So why to kill her now? Okay, I agree. But he put them in jail just to be sure they will not escape, go somewhere else. Not immediately, after the first child was born. When the first child was born, Vasudev, true to his word, he brought the first child to Kamsa. And when seeing that, Kamsa's heart softened. And he told Vasudev, I appreciate very much your truthfulness, but the danger is not from the first child, it's the eighth child. Please take it away. Vasudev, still not trusting Kamsa, he went away, but expecting the worst. You know. And then he was ill-advised by his devil's ministers, the demon's ministers. They told him, how do you know if the eighth child is going to be born first or the eighth? If you count backward, the first can be the eighth. You don't know how the demigods may cheat you, so why do you take the risk? Better don't take any risk. So hearing this ill advice, he called for Vasudev again and killed the child and then put him in prison. And then every child he will kill. Six children he killed. And who were these children? Why they were be killed like that? I mean, they were Krishna's brothers. Why they have to suffer like that? Being killed at birth. Of course, you must know the Shatgarbhasura story, that in previous life they were demigods, actually, the grandchildren of Lord Brahma. But they offended their grandfather, and because of big offense they made, they were born next life as the sons of Hiranyakashipu. And having this offending mentality, they offended their father also, Hiranyakashipu. And because of that, Hiranyakashipu became very angry at them, and he cursed them. And in the future life, your own father will kill you. So they were born next life as the sons of another demon called Kalanemi. And this Kalanemi became Kamsa. And they became Vasudeva and Devaki's sons. So Kamsa was killing his own children from past life without knowing. So see how law of karma is so intricate, so elaborate. It's very difficult sometimes to figure out how karma works. But it works perfectly, without doubt, because it's under Krishna's control, under Paramatma's control. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. Krishna explained Bhagavad Gita, I'm controlling the wandering of all living entities. They are sitting in a machine-like body. And I'm in the heart, so I control all their movement, all their activities. So he decides where each soul has to go, according to their karma and desires. So this is going on. And the soul is transmigrating from one body to another, trying to find happiness. But the other side of the coin is distress, suffering. So, anyway, we'll stop here. If anybody has any comment or question? Yes, Hare Krishna.
Very nice. So, speaking about karma, stated as the wheel of time turns.
Yes.
So mortal revolves by the mystical energy of the Lord. Mm. One time he revolves on earth, another time he revolves in hell, held fast by the noose of karma.
Who's that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Huh? Oh, Jai. I heard something similar from Bhaktivinoda Thakur too. Very nice. Yes?
Maharaj, I understand how everything that happens to you, you have to understand it's meant to come to you.
Yes.
But in a certain way, it seems to make light of the sinful activity. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like someone could come and, you know, whatever, stab you and say, well, this is your karma. It's like, it's complicated, but it seems to me in a way that it does that, and it's a little hard to understand. You have to understand it's meant to come to you.
Yes.
But in a certain way, it seems to make light of the sinful activity. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like someone could come and, you know, whatever, stab you and say, well, this is your karma. It's like, it's complicated, but it seems to me in a way that it does that, and it's a little hard to understand.
Yeah. Philosophers do this wrong to you, though. You have to tolerate because it is your karma. That's lack of compassion. That's lack of an understanding, actually.
Right. I always remember the example, you know, Prabhupada in Mayapur.
But should be our attitude? To try to bring some relief, to show some compassion, you know, to help them understand that they can overcome their karma if they approach Krishna with a service attitude. That's our duty, not to justify anything and everything in the name of karma.
And also, I've read, you know, in Bhagavatam before that, you know, sometimes it's not exactly karma. You know, sometimes Krishna is creating, especially for the devotees, a special situation.
That's true.
To bring them closer, so you can't even, you know, you can't even say, "Oh, that's your karma," especially with devotees, because Krishna can do anything to bring someone.
That's true. That's true. For example, Brahmatirtha Prabhu asked Prabhupada, do you get sick because of your karma?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes. My bad karma was that I accepted some rascals disciples." So, and sometimes Krishna, to correct the devotee, he has some wrong attitude, give some suffering to rectify the devotee. It's not exactly karma always. It can be the hand of the Lord to correct his own devotees, you know. The good example about that is that the pot maker, you know, he works on the wheel and he makes shape to the pot, putting his hand inside the pot and make it shape while things go around. But from the outside, he's patting the pot, so any bubble of air will go out, so would not crack when put in the oven. So in the same way, Krishna is cleansing our heart from the inside when we practice bhakti, devotional service. Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada gives the Bengali saying that the vultures curse the crows, cows to die, but that curse doesn't act.
That's the verse in the Bengali. What is the name? Runi Sab Garu Marana. What is the first line? Or Pandiji? The vulture is cursing the cow to die so he can eat it. But it's not going to die to please him, you know. So in Kali Yuga, Brahmin has no power to curse people. They lost their power with the son of what's the name of that rishi? Sringi, he cursed Maharaj Parikshit. And because of that offense, to curse a pure devotee of the Lord, Brahmins lost their power to curse. No effect in Kali Yuga. So don't worry. But anyway, don't make angry anybody, just in case, you know. They should bless, not curse anyone. Blessing are welcome. They can give. If they are devotees of the Lord, why not? It must have some effect. Even Prabhupada, when he was sending the three couples to open a temple in England, he brought them inside the temple and asked all the devotees to give their blessings. So blessings are most welcome and necessary. But cursing is not devotee's attitude. Devotee doesn't curse anyone. He desired the welfare even of his own enemies. You know?
One more incident was there when Lord Chaitanya was one time cursed by some Brahmin.
Yeah, one Brahmin, that you will never have again material happiness, because he was not allowed in the house of Srivas Thakur for the Prem Sankirtan. He wasn't qualified. So he cursed Lord Chaitanya when he came out. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy to hear that curse. He didn't want it to happen, but it happened. That's why he took sannyas.
Hasn't benediction given in that section that one who hears about this incident is never affected by curse?
Mm-hmm.
I think benediction is given when someone who hears about this incident will never be affected by the curses.
Just see. So just by hearing this pastime, we'll get free from being cursed or be affected by it. Wonderful. Blessing. All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.